grateful to be your people. Lord, we're grateful to be called by your name. We're grateful, Father God, for every opportunity, Lord, every chance, everything that you do, Father God, in taking care, watching over your people, Lord. And Father, right now, Lord God, amidst all the things that have happened this day, Father, we just leave them all at your feet, all at your care. Lord, we leave every burden, every success, everything, Father, just before you, Lord God. And we come unto you, Lord God, even as you said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Lord, we take your yoke upon us, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, Lord, we just rest in you right now, Father. We invite, Lord, the free flow of your Holy Spirit in and through us, Father God, and completely in this time. And Lord, we pray, Father God, your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, Father, we take authority and bind every demonic force and every power, every principality, every work of the enemy in and around this place. We displace it, we move it out, we bind it, we break it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, Father God, your will be done, Lord Jesus. Your free flow be done in and through us. Father, I yield to your Spirit. And Lord, I acknowledge openly it's just your Spirit in me that's good. And so I pray, have your will in your way as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Psalm 149 says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the tremble and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Okay. Cool. So we have been in a series, and now we're in part three of the series. And the loose title of the series has been The Joy of the Saints. And, you know, we go through, when we come to Christ, we go through, you literally come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We talked about in Acts 26 how when Paul is given his assignment, God talks very deliberately and very specifically to him about what his role will be in helping to facilitate a lot of people going from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now, without Christ Jesus, you are under the power of Satan. Now, it just sounds horrible, even in and of itself, when you see it and you realize that that's the reality for anyone that's not liberated by the Spirit of God, set free through Christ Jesus paying that price for that person. See, that price is paid, but that person has to receive that gift. And without that gift being actualized in a person's life, that person is left under the power of Satan. So their pursuits, their thinking, their what they do with their body, where their mind is at, all of those things are being influenced by, and they have no recourse, no back, and they're stuck under the power of Satan. And it's a terrible thing, because when you see in John 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So you're left under the power of someone whose entire goal and purpose for even being and existing is to steal and to kill and to destroy you. So that really sucks. That really, really sucks for the people that are there. And so basically, even within the kingdom of the world, what it is that they're doing is, and they promote their own based on their ability to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So they put more people up, they get a higher position, the more people that they hurt, the more people that they harm. The more that they steal, kill, and destroy others, that's where they get position. That's where they climb that social hierarchy. So, whereas the kingdom of God, what God does is He now brings us out of the power of Satan unto Himself. And we have the greater power. Greater is He that lives in you than he that's in the world. So what happens is, it's not that the world doesn't have power, but it's we have the far greater one working in us. So much so that we can be in the natural, completely outnumbered in the natural. We can be surrounded on every side. All the resources that you think that the world thought you had can be cut off, and God will still provide, still protect, still watch over, still take care of those that are His. So we're not dependent on their system. God can send a raven and break open a rock to give you something to drink when the world would have sooner pushed you into the ocean, killed you off, starved you, got rid of you. You will come through where they would fall. The righteous fall 7 times and get back up again. The wicked, 1 calamity is enough to lay them low. So we bounce back as God's people. So, you know, that's something we have to always overlay, because to the fact that we should always be grateful. Always keep in mind what God saved us from. Some people, it's really easy for them to remember what God saved them out of. Sometimes you got to be grateful for what He saved you from. Because that's another thing too, is like, we don't realize if light didn't come into our lives when it did, the kind of damage we would have continued to do to ourselves and to those around us that cared about us, it would have been horrific. And sometimes if you got to remember that He's been so good to you, so good to me, and we should always keep that in mind, always keep that at the forefront. Now, one thing we talked about a little bit in this series was the fact that the power of Satan, for this work that Christ Jesus was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John chapter 3. So, I think verse 8, actually let's go there really quick. Keep your finger in Psalms, but I want to show you this one. No, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And let's see, oops. Chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Chapter 3, verse 8. So, Jesus Christ was manifest for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So, Jesus Christ came into this natural reality, this paradigm that you and I are in. The God took on flesh, came into, the Word became flesh. Scripture talks about the Word became flesh in this reality so that He could destroy the works of the devil in this reality. So the kingdom of this world and the prince of the power of this world, when Christ Jesus was manifest in the flesh and when He did what He did on the cross, the devil was defeated. Now we carry on the ministry of Christ Jesus. One way that the world and the world system is being destroyed is here. Light came into the world in Christ. He was that was it. And then the power of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And 120, you saw the Holy Spirit come down upon them like tongues of fire. So they were lit ablaze. with the power and the light of God. And then shortly after that, 3,000 get baptized. And so all of a sudden, here's this wildfire that starts on the tinderbox of this world that has continued to spread throughout the ages. Now, those that are His are ablaze with God in this world. And God allows us to be here. Now the world, if it could have put that fire out, it would have a long time ago, but it can't. So, because ultimately the reason is that there's a greater power that's in us than that's in their system. And you can see that by just the very fact that we continue to exist. Because we don't have their resources. They're not sharing with us, even as, you know, we're not funding and promoting them. Although some followers of Christ ignorantly do, but we're not pushing their thing. What we're pushing and what we're about is God's kingdom. But they're not exactly jumping out of their shoes to say, "Oh, look, here's a follower of Christ. Let's make them president." You know, no, that's not happening. Outside of extenuating circumstances, probably in a crisis situation, maybe then people are open to light and truth. If it's for the purpose of getting out of the fix that they're in. But by and large, the heart of people separated from the Creator, they don't want light. They don't want truth. Why? Because why would you? If you've based your life on a lie, and you've accepted the lie and the father of all lies, why is it that you would want now to know truth? Because it'll cost you something. So we, as children of God,
the more you, I think, believe the lie, it becomes reality.
Yeah. And actually God talks about this. Because they refuse to love the truth, He gives them over to a powerful delusion. That believing the lie, they may be damned. See, there's this side of it too, where it's like if a person doesn't want the truth in their heart, God lets you have the lie that you've chosen, and He lets it be powerful. So that you, it's not just a delusion, but a powerful delusion, so that they believe the lie. So it's like if you choose to reject truth, and you choose the world and the world system, and you choose to basically believe the lie of the world system, the world religious system, all those other things that are there. If you choose to believe that and divorce yourself from authentically seeking the Creator and to know Him for yourself and what's really true, then God says, okay, if that's what you want, if you want that and you don't really want Me, fine, you can have that and I will let you believe it. And I will let you have a powerful delusion to believe that, because in the end, it's like, let that be what you believe and let that be what you chose because you rejected Me.
But that's like God taking revenge.
No, vengeance is Mine, says the Lord. I mean, He does say that. See, here's the thing. People sometimes, they confuse certain aspects of who He is. One of them being that it's like, I mean, here it is. Here is God sends His Son into the world to die for the sin of mankind, which we should have and deserve to die for in the first place. He sends Him in here. He comes of His own free will into the situation to die for us, to pay the debt for us. So now here's somebody that comes to substitute in for us. And you read the scripture, you see how He was treated. You see how He was handled and what was done to Him. He that knew no sin became sin. So, and can you imagine? So He never knew sin in His entire existence, and all of a sudden then He became sin. He absorbed the sins of the entire world. From start to finish, all of it He absorbed, because there's no time in Him, He's eternal. He took it into that moment in time and absorbed all of it in those 3 hours. You couldn't download it any faster. All of it was taken into Him. And here's Christ Jesus doing that for us. And then, if someone was to reject that, so here it is, everything's been done. It's like working, I mean, very, very, this the example doesn't even compute on the same level. But say somebody worked for 5 years to put together a special dinner for someone. 5 years, like they're really planning for this because this is really important. And all the other guy's got to do is just get in his car and drive, you know, 6 blocks over to come for it. And at the end of it, if he says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, there's a football game on, or you know, I mean, like just, you know, I mean, you see, like, if it was something that was being built up for and prepared for and anticipated and huge expense and cost and all those things went into that. Okay, now, bajillion times more exponential, here's God preparing for the wedding feast. For the marriage of the here's this Son of God, and we become the bride of Christ, and he goes through thousands and thousands and thousands of years of just setup and preparation for this. And then when somebody now has, now it's been done. It is finished at the cross. So now we're living in the post it is finished era, where all that a person has to do is receive the gift of God that he promises and offers to someone. And if somebody now, with here it is, Christ Jesus died, gave his life on the cross for us, that we might live, and somebody says, no, I don't think so. Well, okay, first of all, how do you think that makes the heart of God feel? You know, after all of that, how do you think Jesus feels when, you know, he's shed his blood so that a person doesn't have to go that way, and they reject that price that's already been paid? So it's like having something phenomenal that's been paid for. All you gotta do is pick it up at the store. You just have to go over and pick it up. You don't have to drive, you just walk over and pick it up. And he's just saying, look, just walk over and pick it up. And people refuse to do that. So, yeah, God then says, okay, if you refuse to reject my... If you refuse to accept my truth, and if you reject it, fine, reject it. But so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow you to fully believe, because this is your choice. You believe a lie, you reject the truth, fine. Now I'm going to let you fully believe that lie that you put yourself in. If you really want that, you will have that. See, ultimately what happens is people get what they choose.
Yeah, but then they drag other people along with them.
Uh-huh.
So which is another, you know, yeah.
Yeah, they do. And that's why too, that even scriptures talk about those that preach and teach will incur stricter judgment upon themselves. Because of the fact that it's like that there's people that look to you. See, people have responsibilities in particular areas, and God sees that. God knows that. And so you have to be mindful of that. And yeah, I would not want to be one of these sellout preachers that is pushing the world system and trying to get everybody there to tie to the Babylonian beast religious system that's not following Christ, but just really using people as numbers and telling people, oh, you're okay, you don't really need to get right with God for yourself, as long as here's your list of do's and don'ts, and don't go to movies, and don't drink, and don't do this, and don't do that. But it's nothing about relationship and connection with the Father, nothing about walking with Him for yourself, just show up on Sunday. I mean, would you want that on your soul, if you're going to go now stand before God, and now you're going to have to give an account of your life? I mean, it's like, I would, no, you know, if this is, each person needs to line up with God for themselves. And so even when we get together, even like this, and we share some time, I'm not asking for anybody to follow me. Nah, I don't want that. I'm not asking for anyone to follow me. All I'm doing is, if God gives me something, if people have a heart to hear it, I'm happy to share whatever it is that He's showing me as part of my own journey with Him. And if it blesses people, cool. If it doesn't bless you, that's cool too. It's fine, because you know what? I've just got to keep going, because I'm in the middle of something too, which is my own journey, my own process of going from glory to glory in Christ Jesus. So in that process, I'm like, okay, let me share, and God's allowed the means and the way to actually do that now, to share what it is that He's doing. Let me share that. Sure, let me do that. I don't mind. You know, and let it be what it is. Let it go where it goes. Let it, and yeah, thank God for that. Because you know, another thing too that I realized, and this is even, we can rejoice in the fact that as you keep going with Christ, you change. Just even as like your physical body changes. You look at a picture of yourself 3 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, you're changing, you're shifting. And there's seasons of life that we should be celebrating, and there's things that we can do in each season of life. And it's not, see, the world is stuck on, because the world is petrified to die. One, the world is freaked out to die. So what it does is it holds on to this youth culture. And it pushes that because that's the place where they have the best shot of any kind of life at all. So they hold on to that, they push that, you have to be, you know, forever young. Oh gosh, it's terrible. Like the other day we were talking about Madonna. Oh gosh, and just like, I mean, just grandma, please put it away. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, like trying to be this
young.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, can, I mean, it's just, it's like, it's not, there's not a sexy grandma, please just stop, you know. It's like this, but the reason is why, because she's sold out to a particular, I mean, to a genre that she can't get enough nips and tucks and plastic surgeries and yoga classes to be able to keep that up. You can't, because the body goes a certain way because it's coded with time. The physical body that we have is limited.
Another example would be show as in show
cool. Oh. Yeah, of course. No, I mean, how many times can you stretch your face? You look like you got your head sticking out the side of a window and just like, you just can't keep pulling it back anymore. I mean, it's just, the problem is,
they just can't seem to face reality. That's why they keep, trying to keep doing all this.
Whereas, you know, here's something that's really, really interesting too. See, the people of God, when you're connected to Him, you're connected to life. John 15 talks about that. See, this is another thing too. For us, we can rejoice in this, in that you are connected to the source of life. So, now, if something's connected to the source of life, it is alive. Whereas if something's not connected to the source of life, well, it quickly withers and dies. Like, have you seen a branch that breaks off a tree? Does the leaves, do they wither right away? No, it doesn't wither in like 5 seconds. It takes a little bit of time, but you come back the next day, you come back the next day, you come back a week later, then it's like, oh, okay, this thing is dead, it's dying, there's no life in it. Same thing with the people in the world. They when they're cut off from that life and truth because they've basically rejected and then go the way of the world, you see them get old and withering and dying really fast. Whereas the people of God that are connected to Him, they have life in them. They have a youthful thing going about them. I mean, people ask me sometimes, you know, as far as like beauty goes, the most beautiful people that I know are people that pray. Because when I see them, like, you can just see the light of God coming, flowing through that person based on a connection that they have with Him. And they're all different ages. I mean, some of them are you know, in their 50s, 60s, but they're people that are connected to Him. And I wouldn't be able to tell that that's their age. When they would tell me, I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, I would have, because why? Because there's life there. Whereas, like, with the people that are in the world, I mean, you see them at 25 and they look like they're 45. Just like, because why? Because the world will dry you up and spit you out and chew you up and destroy you so fast. And I mean, for us, for children of God, children of light, the world will be, it can't get a handle on us. It won't be able to. Now, and also too, along those lines, if you're walking with Him, the Spirit of God makes a provision for in every stage of life, in the natural, for you to have the blessing, the fullness of God in that stage of life as it is. Jesus Christ came that we might have also, in John 10 again, he's talking, so he came to destroy the works of the devil, but also he said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, here, let's go there. It's just John chapter 10. Keep your fingers in Psalm still, but John chapter, Johann chapter 10 says, the thief cometh, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, if we're being renewed daily, if we're being going from glory to glory in Christ Jesus, and He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, when a person is connected with Him, we go from a process from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So you've been moved from that unto the power unto God. So now you're under His power, you're under His control, you're under the dominion of the kingdom of God. And now in the dominion of the kingdom of God, under the dome, which this is the King of Kings that rules, and you're in that, we, because we're here in this world, and because of the paradigm that we're in this place, we can also go from life and have it more abundantly. See, this is something too, when you start walking with Him, it's not just a, oh Jesus, please save me, thank you for your blood on the cross, and okay, and now I'm going to do what? Go back to, you know, what you were all about before? No. What He does is He says, that's the beginning of you starting a path, which is laid out in Him. And as you walk on that path, what He's doing is He is adding to you. You already have the fullness of Christ Jesus in you, but He is adding to that, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, patience. I mean, or like, well, I mix up the scripture, but patience, virtue. I mean, like He's building certain things into you that are attributes that are like Him, that are coming from your relationship and your connection with Him. And as He continues to build into you, you also have a fullness of life that you wouldn't have any other way. You have a fullness of life. There's a blessing that comes. I remember, you know, kind of when I was more in my teenage years, like I was surrounded by a lot of people that were just like, it was kind of this thing of like, they were doing their church thing, and they did it kind of because they were expected to, and they were supposed to, but they really didn't want to. And they were in this place of like, okay, I want to be part of the world. How much can I get away with being part of the world and still, you know, what can I do and still be saved? Kind of thing. This was this thing in their mind.
I want an example.
Yeah, and the thing about it too is like, the realization that I kind of had was like, so your heart's not with God anyways. I mean, if your heart's, you know, just, why don't you just go off the deep end and get it out of your system? Because it's like your heart, ultimately, it's like, if your heart's with Him, you want Him. And if your heart's with Him, you want to travel on that path with Him. If you do anything that grieves His heart, it breaks your heart. You then know, okay, this is breaking His heart, this is hurting and damaging me, so I want to walk with You, Lord Jesus, please show me how, because ultimately, I would want that which You desire from me. I would want that which You intend for the life that You've given me to live here, so please just show me how, show me the way. And what does He do? Is that He does that, and as you keep walking that out with Him, you move from life and you have it more abundantly now. You're having a fuller life, a richer life that comes out of relationship with Him. So it's something that, you know, you almost have to just track it for a while and then look back and say, okay, wow, the things that really got me 2 years ago are nothing now. You know, the kind of things that would disturb my character, the kind of ways that now you've been through some experiences with God, you've seen His ability to provide, for example, miraculously in situations. And now you've come to a place where, okay, you just trust Him. Why do you trust Him? Because you've learned that He always comes through. And Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and what you need will be taken care of. All these things He'll add unto you. Not talking about your greeds, but talking about what it is that you need in the temporal reality, God will take care of it. So we see that, and once you've come through and you've walked this line with Him for a while, you realize, wait a second, He's taking care of me. And if you know that He's taking care of you, then it's like, okay, if you know that He'll take care of you anywhere that you go, then where can you go? You can go anywhere. All of a sudden now, what did that do? It just opened up the entire world to you. If you weren't sure that God could and would take care of you anywhere that you went, then where would you stay? You would stay right where it is that you knew that you were safe, and where you knew that you could control things, because you weren't quite sure that God could do what He said He would. So you would stay close to that which is that you knew, that which is that you could control, and you would try to make life there in that situation. But now, all of a sudden, when you come to the realization, and not something that you read on the page, but something that God's written in your heart, and because you're walking with Him, when you've learned that lesson, because you've walked with Him, He's led you into situations where you had to trust Him. Now you've trusted Him and you've seen Him come through. Now at the other side of that, when you now have that finally solidified in your heart, okay, I can trust Him to take care of me no matter what the situation is that I face. Now what that does for you is now that's a foundation stone for the next thing, because now if He says, look, I want you to go to Timbuktu, or I want you to go to Scandinavia, or whatever it is, you have a peace in your heart about Him being able to do that, and that adds to an abundant life, because now it's like, okay, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere, you can do anything. And so then now the kind of things that are struggles then at that level and at that stage would be things like, okay, Lord, what is it that You have for me to do in this place? And then He's also showing you too the kind of spiritual wickedness and the powers that you'll be fighting against when you go to a place like that. So you're not worried about the provision, because He said He'd take care of that. So now you're saying, okay, back to John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this reason Christ Jesus was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. He's calling you into the destroying the works of the devil. You don't have to worry about things, lessons that you've now got down and you've mastered. Now you can move on to the other stuff, the bigger stuff, the more important things, which is wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, see, this is again why, when we go through Psalm 149 at the start, how right there we see power that's vested in all of His saints. Where there is not a worldly leader that is, that if God moves it on the heart of one of those that are His, that couldn't be bound for all eternity. There's not a worldly leader that's there that can stand against the power of God. A noble, a whatever. They can't. They cannot stand against Him. But what they do, because they're freaked out about this, is then they work to control your mind. So the desire then becomes, okay, this person's really dangerous. even if we take away their resources, even if we cut them off from all opportunities, God still takes care of them. They still grow. They still learn more. Every time they turn around, you're stronger, you're more powerful in the spirit or in the natural or both than they were the last time they checked. It's 2 years have passed, they come back and check. You didn't get destroyed, you actually are more than before. So now it's like, okay, what now do they do with you? Well, they're stuck. And so in the process of them being stuck like that, we continue to walk forward with Him, realizing more and more as we go who we are in Him. So what they do is, because of the fact that they're stuck, what they'll do is try to bombard your mind, so that in the process of bombarding your mind, that you forget who it is that you are. You forget God's assignment unto you. Or you get so caught up with other things, sidetracked with other things, that you now miss what it is that He wants to do with you. So it's a challenge on one side, but also it's an amazing opportunity, because when you start to realize what you have, it's night and day. When you realize you're not a pauper, you're not a beggar, you're a princess and a prince of the living God, of the King of this everything. ¿Cómo estás, muchacho? Welcome.
Here comes the prince.
Yes, speaking of princes, welcome. Okay. So, now, God's people have authority given unto them by Him. All authority in heaven and on earth was, Jesus said, look, all authority on heaven, actually let's go there, Matthew 28.
The first book of the New Testament, Matthew 28.
Right. Verse 19 says, actually verse 18 says, halfway down, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all, okay, big word, all. See, you know, sometimes people use inclusive statements to say, oh, you never do this, or you whatever. No, when Jesus says all, because He didn't ever mince His words, every word that He said was absolutely 100% right on. That's why He's God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I mean, so He makes a distinction so people understand, look, in both places He's got this entire thing wrapped up. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay. So Jesus makes it very clear so people understand that He's got all of the power. And in Him we do what? We live and move and have our being. He lives in us. His words remain in us. We remain in Him. Wow. So now we live and move and have our being inside of Him, who has all authority, all power, and is able to... I mean, so it's like, of course the world is freaked by that. Because now, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter. They can put a bajillion resources to work to do something specific, and all God's got to do is move His little pinky finger or say, oh, sorry, I'm not tolerating that today, and the whole thing falls apart. Classic examples. The H1N1. Man-made, man-manufactured, created to do a means of population control, to get control over people's travel, to give them a toxic vaccine so that they would now be time-bound to have other diseases down the line. But in the end, what happened? It mutated, not to become something stronger, but to become something weaker. Did you guys check the website? Did you see the video that's on there of the Spanish nun? and if it's, it'll still be up there on the homepage for a little while, but there's this lady who's a who is a doctor of internal medicine. She got all of her credentials from you know, in the States, and she, and also University of in Spain, Barcelona, in Spain. But she practiced for 7 years in New York as well, and then she joined a nunnery, and she works in the convent, but she's still a doctor. And she's incredibly competent, and basically she just goes into the background of everything about the virus and the dangers of the shot, and even how, when this last year, when they were preparing the, because every year they do the seasonal flu shot that they send out, and there was a check signed, like, so this year it was sent out by Baxter, and what happened was there was a scientist that was allowed to check. Well, okay, he was qualified to, but he wasn't asked to do this, but he was qualified, but he decided just to do this for his own desire, to do just a check on the antivirus stuff that had been sent on for the flu shot for that year. And every place got like 75 kgs of just, like, it's a lot of material that they were using to create this. And basically what he found out when he did this test was that it was all infected, or it was all toxic. And this was going to go out to like thousands of people. And so he basically, you know, called it, and they had to do a mass recall of this. But if they had given this shot that was intended, because it was actually a combination of bird and like swine and like different like flus that were already in the thing.
Then it takes effect after a certain
time. After, and so basically what it, part of what this person said was that, because this was stuff that had been discovered as well, was that that all of the ramp up that had taken place for this global pandemic, as they called it, for the H1N1 and all their anticipation for that, and because they were anticipating this launch of this through the inoculations that would have taken place, where this would have incubated in people's bodies and come out a certain way. So they were setting up a pandemic prior, and they put the machinery in place for it. So then all of a sudden, when now the World Health Organization, all these guys, like, oh, pandemic, but it's just this, you know, a few hundred people in Mexico, and then it mutates to something weaker, and this other thing didn't get any steam going because they caught it before. So all of a sudden it's like they form all these plans and now they don't work. Well, why didn't they work? You know, why didn't they? Because God's got his own timetable going on as well. And nothing is going to happen here without him saying, okay, I'm allowing that now.
This is for you. Yeah.
This was globally. This one happened, I think, that was a Czech scientist where they caught the toxic vaccines. So even now the warning's being, because even now, say for example, since I'm on this a little bit, but even now the with the H1N1 vaccine flu shots that they've made, because they were asked to do, they're saying the reason is because they were asked to do so much volume, more than what they were anticipating, that they now said they signed something with the government, which basically said that the pharmaceutical companies are not liable if people get sick and die from the shot, because they were asked to put together so much quantity of this, more than what they usually do. So the government signing this with them, these are the things people don't realize. So they're taking a shot where when you get sick from this, which is possible, which is probably pretty likely, from tainted stuff that goes into this thing, because it has formaldehyde in it, it has squalene in it, it has all these other things that are negative. When you get a problem that arises from it, first of all, they won't report it in the media because it's controlled, but when you do get a problem from it, you won't be able to do recourse for the people that gave it to you. Now, God has something else that's going on in here, because see, his people that are motivated by fear, that are listening to the voice of the Spirit, they're just, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Take it, don't take it. Because that's all we do for us is we just walk through life with him. See, one of the joys that we have is the fact that whatever you face, first of all, we don't face anything in fear. Perfect love drives out all fear. So we can go into any situation, into any circumstance, be like, ah, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be afraid about anything in this thing. If I'm walking with you and you're leading me, you can lead me into the valley of the shadow of death, like Psalm 23, and I will fear no evil because you are with me. Near this foot there. Psalm 23. Since we kept our finger in the Psalms. Psalm 23. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay. So God, He takes care of His own. And see, one of the things that we, when you walk with Him, we don't fear what the world fears. See, the world is afraid because it's not ready to die. Though it's dead, it's not ready to die. I mean, we're alive in Christ and we're ready to go home at any time. We don't fear the second death because there's no death in Him. He's already taken it. He's already taken this thing of death. So for us, we just shift from this into an eternal reality that's more than this, which I look forward to. But as long as I'm here, I might as well be about what He's doing, which part of it we've already talked about, which is to destroy the works of the devil. Cool, that sounds like fun to me. You know, what else is it that God is about? Sure, let's get about those things. But while we're here, He's leading us in a path because also He desires us to come to the fullness of what He made us to be in the first place. So He wants us to embrace that. He doesn't want us to run from that, because in the end, He has the best for His people. And surely He will do that. But you have to ask Him for it, and you have to follow Him in this. Because it's a journey. Now, the world is afraid. The world is very afraid. And they're losing their minds. Because they don't know. See, in their system, it's a zero sum game. You ever heard of game theory, where basically it's like there's only so much to go around. So if I get this, that means you have to lose it in order for me to get it. So it's the whole principle of game theory. It's a world theory, is that, you know, there's only, you know, four apples. And if I get the four apples, then you don't get any apples. If I get three apples, then you get one. But it's basically like, if there's a winner, there's got to be a loser. And but not with Christ. We operate on an entirely different system. For the people in Christ, it's absolutely win-win across the board. We can gladly share the things that we know in Him, because He's limitless. There's no limitation in Him. When His people were in the wilderness, He just said, okay, I'm going to feed them, I'm going to take care of them, I'm going to get them water, I'm going to... And if they would have trusted Him, He would have taken them into the promised land in 2 weeks. But the fact that they didn't trust Him, and they ticked Him off because He showed them through powerful, powerful things that He had authority over. I mean, here's Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's got the lockdown on these guys. And through the different signs and wonders that He did with Moses, made it really clear that this God is in control. God has power over this. This kingdom's not strong enough to hold His people. Like Moses said, let my people go. That's what God is saying to these guys, so they can go and worship Him. Okay. Finally, He just twists His arm. Pharaoh says, uncle, uncle, and lets them go. And then He takes them through the Red Sea, and all of the different things that happen, and then they get to the place where they finally now got to go into the promised land, and they're like, we look like grasshoppers to these guys that we're supposed to go, you know, take this from. And so they didn't trust him. And so then he said, okay, you know, it's like the same back to Jesus. Like, what more does God have to do? He gave you his son as a substitute for your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world. If people will reject that, here's something similar. So here it is, he's taken them out with a strong hand out of Egypt, pulled them out, ripped them out of this whole thing where they were slaves for 400 years before that, took them over the Red Sea on dry ground while the waters were piled up on the side, and then when these other guys tried to follow them, the Egyptians tried to follow them, he let them get wiped out. The water just moved back to where it was naturally, and he just let them get wiped out. All of this takes place, and then he's like, and then they get to the point where now they just got to go in and do what he told them to do, and he's going to be the one to fight for them because they can't do it in their own strength anyways. And they're like, we look like grasshoppers. Only Joshua and Caleb. And what does God say? He says, look, these people, they, it's like, alright, fine. You don't believe it, so you won't receive it then. He says, I'm gonna wait. I can outweigh you guys. He's like, I can outweigh you guys. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna let all of you pass on from the scene, and I am going to give this to the next generation. I am going to pass on what it is that could have been yours, but because you refuse to believe it, I am going to give it to those that come after you. And he did. Only Joshua and Caleb went in because they didn't ever doubt God. They believed him throughout, and they tried to encourage the people in that process. God gave a witness, somebody that said, look, he is able to do this, and if God's be on our side, there's nobody that can stand against us. And they said, they didn't believe it. They forgot. See, we should never forget. We should never, ever, ever forget that God has always taken care of us, always provided for us. We have breath in our lungs today because he gave it to us. We should never forget that. We should always be grateful for that. Because then it's like, okay, wow, Lord, anything. I can do anything. I can go anywhere. I can be anything. Your life can change drastically. You can do something tomorrow that you never did today. Cool. Try it. Why not? Because he's given you also power. He's given you gifts that are activated by him. Rather than the world. See, it's miserable in the world. You know, the world, what they do is they have their short-term, like, little things that give them quick highs. You know, little short pops here and there but most of the time they try to be distracted. Most of them can't sit in a room without the TV being on. Because they gotta have something occupying their mind and keeping them going, because they can't deal with the reality of the questions that you know they have to, which is their own mortality. They're so afraid to die, and yet they're not willing to ask the question, what is it that I must do to have life? See, that was the question that when these guys' realities got rocked in the book of Acts, they would fall down below, you know, in front of the apostles and be like, what do I got to do to have life? Because obviously I'm not right and I'm not ready. So we, those that are in Christ Jesus, you have light, you have life, you have direction, you have purpose, you have a reason for existing in this world. God's given it to you. He's ripped you out of the hands, just like Pharaoh. He's ripped you out of the hands of something that was far stronger than you, and he's pulled you unto himself. But now he's saying, okay, now all you gotta do, just trust me. Faith is trusting him. So he's like, all you gotta do now, just trust me that I am able. I mean, if you got a struggle in that area, be real and be raw with him, but trust him. You know, I mean, you know, there was the guy whose son was possessed by a demon that came to the disciples to try to get the child healed, and the child, they had a problem with it, and then they weren't able to, and then Jesus, you know, asked them, you know, but when he came down from the mountain, and in the end, what it is that, and he said, and this guy said, oh God, if you can, please do something to help them, because, and Jesus is like, what, if? He's like, if you can? He's like, you know, everything is possible for those that believe. I mean, first of all, there's no limitation with God, but he's even showing this guy too. It's like, you know, it's, what do you mean, if? You know, it's like, but then this guy says, you know, to those that believe, and the guy says, you know, basically, Lord, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. You know, and even sometimes too, it's like, and then Jesus heals the son and restores him unto him. But with that, there's times where we do come into situations where it's like, God, my faith is tested. You know, I'm struggling with this. I know you're faithful. I know you can do something in this situation, but I am struggling in a particular area. Lord, would you please help me? And just being honest and raw with him, he meets you there. But people need to do that. They have to be raw with him, because you have to then go forward with him and be like, Lord, you know, here is where I'm at with this. I know you can provide. I know you can take care of this thing. I know you can meet this need. I know you can protect me. I know you can watch over me. So I'm just bringing this to you. And just like this guy that said to Jesus, Lord, I do believe. Please just help me not to doubt. Please help me to take this from a place of, you know, yes, I know, but I'm still struggling, to God, I want to be 100% full on, no problem. Because, you know, that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. You know, when they were standing before Nebuchadnezzar, they had, in fact, here, let's just go there, Daniel. Let's see here. Okay. Verse, it's chapter 3. I'm just trying to see where it's from. Okay. Well, okay. I'll just set it up for you a little bit. So, but basically, Nebuchadnezzar sets up a statue, tells everybody, look, when the music goes off, you all bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, nope, nothing doing. And verse 16 said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Because they're saying, look, I give you a second chance, bow down when the music happens, or we're going to toss you in the fire. He says, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods or worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Have you ever seen like a spoiled kid that's used to always getting everything that he ever wants? He just says it, he gets it, and then now all of a sudden it's like, you know, he just didn't quite get what he wanted. And multiply that by 100 and you get Nebuchadnezzar. He's just like, here's this spoiled little brat of a king But it's like all of a sudden now here's three little lowly, you know, once, you know, they came over as slaves, as captives into Babylon, and then they were smarter than all their guys, so they got put in the, you know, positions, and now it's like here's these guys, captives in my country now, and I'm telling them bow down to this image, and they're like, no, we might as well just go into the fiery furnace, which our God can save us out of if we need to be, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down, so, you know, go F yourself. And it's like, you know, and it's just like, you know, like, I mean, ultimately, that's, they just thumb their nose at this guy. Not disrespectfully as such, but they said, look, here's the line that we won't cross. See, one of the things about the saints is, sure, you're in the world, you're not of it. But when it comes down to the point of, okay, where is your heart? Will you bow your knee to the world, or is your knees bowed to the King of Kings and to Him? Thou shalt love the Lord your God, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Luke chapter 4. Are you there? Or is your knee and your heart and everything else bowed to the world? Well, when it came down to it, in a very real sense, these guys spiritually were lockstep in line with the Spirit of God. And they said, look, we're captives here, God has allowed us to be in this situation, but when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, no matter what takes place, no matter what kind of example that God would have to live out through our lives, whatever it is that He wants to do for His divine purpose, that's up to Him. But as far as it pertains to us, in this situation, in this context, I don't care who you are, we're not bowing to you because we serve someone else. And so, spoiled little brat Nebuchadnezzar, like, burn him! And like, so he freaks out, he loses it.
Because the ones that have spoken.
Yeah, because, I mean, here's these guys, and now here, let's keep going with the story. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 20, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, here's a little point too. The guys that sold out to the world, the guys that were selling out and being the implementers of these satanic strategies,
they got burned.
Oh yeah. They get burned up. What, do you think just because you bowed your knee to the devil that, you know, you're not going to get burned up in trying to carry out his will against the people of God?
He's a trickster anyway.
Yeah, so these guys, and these are the mighty men. This is your special ops. These are your special elite guys. So the best guys that we got, let's, you guys take them up to do the job. Oh, you got wiped out. Didn't really hurt to be the best in that kingdom, did it? Okay, so, anyways. And these three men, Shadrach, verse 23, Meshach and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning furnace. Story over? Nope. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, spoiled brat, and rose up in his haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast in three men bound into the midst of the furnace? They answered the king, true, O king. Yeah, you could say, did we not cast in 20 men? They'd be like, oh, true, O king. I mean, you're not going to have a dissenting opinion among somebody that's, you know, he's stuck with a bunch of yes men. Yeah, whatever he said. Why do you even bother asking the question? He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So here it is. And then Nebuchadnezzar came, verse 26, near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake, because he can't go in there. So he's going to get burned up. Oh, you got your limitation again. Nebuchadnezzar can't go in there. Mr. King, Mr., you know, powerful, perceived world leader, head of gold on the Babylonian statue, etc., etc. But oops, I see a place you can't go. I see something you can't do. I see a place where your power has limitation. You want to send somebody else in there? No, you can't go in there. See, we again, as the saints of the living God, as the children of the living God, nothing's off limits for us. You can, we go into the third heavens. We spend time in the spirit. They're blocked. They're limited. Though they may ascend to this, here is, if there's one guy that during that time is at the top of the world system, it's this guy right here. And he, in all of his power and all of his authority that he has in his system, he comes into a very real point that drives him nuts. One is the fact that he has no power and authority over the children of God when it comes down to their heart and their will that bows before the King of Kings. Not before him, but before the King of Kings. Their hearts and their souls are sold out to him. And when it is that he comes and he wants to do them hurt and harm, unless it's God's timing for them to check out and to go on with him to the next adventure, he can't do anything against them. And even if he wants to follow up on this, he can't walk in there. So now he's stuck getting as close as he can to something. It's really hot. I can't go too close because those other guys just died that I sent in there. So it's like he comes to what he's, what says, came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, where it's hot, he's probably sweating in all of his robes, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Now, if they wanted to, they could come forth. If they didn't, they didn't have to. They could have stayed right there. What, you're going to come in and get us? So but they, back to of their own free will in connection with the Spirit of God, said, sure, we'll walk out. But we'll walk out because we choose to walk out. See, we still have...
That also proves that, you know, we're in the fire, but, you know, we are unharmed. So look at us.
Exactly. Because back to here, even with Jesus, he said, look, all power on heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And he shows it very real in the lives of those who live in him. In him we live and move and have our being. So with people that are in him and they haven't bowed, and now they've been tested in that. See, there's a lot of other suckers that were around during that time that all these guys were like, oh yeah, you know, they came over as captives too. Where were the rest of them? They didn't just bring four guys over from captives. It wasn't just these guys. Where are the rest of them? No, they're all out there bowing with everybody else, because when their lives are put on the line, they sold out God. And the ones that didn't sell out God, here it is, he shows himself strong in their lives. The rest of them, you can just be one of Nebuchadnezzar's yes men. Might as well go get your Rick Warren book and do your study thing on the weekend and get together with your special... Yeah, it's like that's not it. That's not real. That's not him. It's prepackaged crap that in the end of the day, when you end up getting into the situation, there's no foundation, there's no relationship with their creator. They're just ponying up to the world system, hoping to get another crumb from the world's table and saying, sure, yeah, whatever you say, it goes, sure, whatever. Let's just be good people. God, on the other hand, he's looking for those that will say, look, I don't care what you do. I'm not, as far as to the world, like, you can do whatever you'd like to me. Because it's with Jesus, too. When Pilate said, look, don't you realize that I got the power to crucify you or to set you free? And Jesus said to him, look, you would have no power over me except if it were given to you by God. And he said, and the one that handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin. In that context, Jesus put Pilate back in perspective. Oh, you think you're a big shot. You're only here and you only have this role and authority because you're playing out your part in the script. And you've been given that for a reason. But, you know, don't think more highly of yourself in this situation than you should. Because actually, you know, this is all part and parcel of the script. Yeah, you're a puppet of the world system, and God has allowed you to be a puppet of the world system because of a divine purpose that he's orchestrating through you. So just play out your role that you have and realize that there's also consequences for your free will decision in the role that you've chosen to play. So back to here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. All power in Christ, no power this the fire had. Fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach," because I don't want to tick off this guy because he could just knock me out. I figured that out. Okay, so let me. Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel to deliver his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to in the province of Babylon. So basically, the king's trying to do damage control here, because he's like, "Oh crap, I don't want to take this guy off." Because, so that's, I mean, so he's, again, a politician. He's like, if you say anything bad about these people's God, we'll cut you up and turn your house into, calls it a dunghill, so like just a pile of shit. So, and then he's like, you know, and then he says, you know, okay, okay, you guys, you get bigger promotions, we'll promote you. Their heart's not in it. They don't care about a promotion. They don't care about any of that stuff. None of it. They will love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, seek to love their neighbor as themselves. These are those that walk in the Spirit of Christ, that have their knees are bowed to the King of Kings, and Him they live and live to serve. And they live their life out in this world that way. And they live a joyful and abundant life that way. The sellouts will do what they do. And every now and then, God puts them in check, just to remind them that who's in power here, who's in control here. For us, we're given the chance to be part of an amazing adventure here in Him. You're given the chance and the opportunity to know Him, to know life, to know truth. It's amazing what God has given and offered to those that are His. And you have to get away with Him in order to understand it, because the world won't tell you this. 100% guarantee the world will not tell you this. You can flip through all the channels on the TV, you won't find it. The world won't tell you what God's offering you. You have to go to Him to reveal that, because He wants to reveal it to you, and frankly, He's the only source that will reveal it to you. Because He's the one that knows you. He knows what He made you for. He knows what He intended you to be. And so He's offering that to you. But you have to receive it and to take it. And once you have it, never let it go. Because all the world will come to snatch that which God has put in you. You need to hold on to it with all of your heart and let Him be the one to lead and guide you through this life. And with that, my time is gone, so we have to stop there for tonight.